Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Chulin Kuf Mem Aleph. We are holding five lines off the top at the two dots. Ein Sham Efrayach. V'chulu, the Gersa is Ein Sham Elo Efrayach Echad. So in the Mishnah we learn like this. In order for there to be a mitzvah of Shiluch HaKein, the eggs must be viable, able to hatch into live chicks. And likewise, if we have chicks, they have to be still dependent upon the mother bird's warmth and care. But if they're already able to fly on their own, they're independent entities, it no longer qualifies Shiluch HaKein. So if it's unviable eggs, if the chicks are too mature, you're out. On the other hand, if the cane only has a single egg or a single chick, which fits the criteria, then you're in, you're chayev. And that's learned from cane. Cane means any type of a nest, even one which contains a single unit. Asks the Gemara, how do you know to push this one out and bring this one in to exclude these, to include this one? Perhaps we'll do it in the reverse. So this Chacham turned L'Rava. I have a question. Ema, perhaps, Ifcha. We should put it in the reverse. So it's just a single one. It's out. Ein Sham Ela Freich Echad. Okay, if it's just a single egg or pata mishalech, it should be exempt. The ba'inan efreichim beitzim. Look, the pasuk speaks plural. Efreichim, many beitzim, right? At least two. V'leka, you don't have that if it's just one. On the other hand, perhaps let's bring in the flying chicks or the unviable eggs. Hayisham efreichim afreichim, if the chicks were already of the flying type. Or the eggs were spoiled. Perhaps in those, chayev l'shalech is obligated. Shnemar kan. Kan means no mikol mokim, in any situation. So how do you know to push this one out, bring this one in? Perhaps flip it around. Answer is, imkain, if that were so. Why does the Torah repeat itself? Imkain yichtav krova im revet salem. You see, if you look at the pasuk inside, ki yikar katzi b'lefanecha b'derech b'leitz efreichim oy beitzim, it says that once. And then again, Va'imrei Vet says, the mother bird is sitting on Ha'lefreichim ha'lebeitzim. Why repeat that again? Then it says, L'sigach ha'seim ha'labonim, don't take the mother, Shailach t'shalach, send her away. Right, that's a loisa say and a nasei, right? So why this repetition? Imkeinach tavkor Va'imrei Vet salayin, the apostle would simply say the mother's resting on them, the ones that we already alluded to. My, why the repetition? Again, to highlight that it's meant to fit this description in particular, to connect the chicks to the eggs and vice versa. And say, just like the eggs still require the mother bird's love and care, likewise the chicks, as opposed to flying chicks, and the other way too, to connect the eggs to the chicks. Just like the chicks are alive and healthy and viable, likewise the eggs must be of a similar nature. Okay, it's the end of the day. In order to qualify, the eggs have to be viable eggs. Chicks have to be dependent on the mother. On the other hand, if it fits this criteria, then even if it's a single chick or egg, you're chay. Now, what's the extent of the mitzvah? Let's say, take the mother bird, send her away, and comes right back before you got a chance to take the offspring. Shilcha, send her away, v'chazr, she came right back. What happens now? Afilu arba v'chamish v'pam chayiv, even happened four or five times. You're chayiv to send her away one final time before you take the kids. Shanama shalach t'shalach sa'im, I'm going to say the Gemara shalach, instead of it referring to a command like send her, shalach is, it should be sent away, the act of sending, perpetual act of sending. No matter how many times it takes to get it right. Shalayach to Shalach HaSeim, and then you take the offspring. Now let's say he has a novel approach to this. So he says, I'm not going to take the mother, send away the mother bird and take the kid. I'm going to take the mother bird and send away the kids. Does that work? No. There's a very specific way of doing this. Amar Harinim Shalitel Sa'im, he claims, I'm going to take the mother. Umeshalach Sabanim, send away the kids. Chayav. That doesn't work. Shana Mashalach Tashal Sa'im. The Torah gives us a very specific way of doing it. Send away the mother and then take the offspring. Okay, let's say he did. He successfully sent away the mother bird. And then, Natal Sabanim, he took the offspring. Ve'achsirano. And he put the offspring back in the nest. Decided, you know, he didn't need it. And then the mother bird comes back. Does he have to send her away again? No. Once it's done, it's done. But mishalech, he's exempt. That's how we do the. That's how we did it at the house. We did shalach again and put it back, and then made it hefker, and the mother bird came back, and the next kid did it. Next kid did it. Right. That's how you can do it over and over again. So the chacham turned to Rava. How do you know? That's an endless proposition. Send it away, send it away, send it away, until it happens. Ve'ema, perhaps, shaleach hadazimna. Shaleach means send her away once, one attempt at sending her away. And teshalach means try once more, terezimna. But perhaps pass two times, you're not obligated. Amaleis, he says, no, shaleach. The Rambam says a makar, it's a root word. The concept of sending away, it's a perpetual thing. Shaleach means afilu mea pamim. Even if it takes 100 times. So why does the pasuk repeat shalach tishalach? Oh, tishalach is coming to add another component to the mitzvah. Even at the expense of a different mitzvah, suppose he requires a bird. Why? Which mitzvah requires a bird? He's a metzora. He needs the bird to process his purification process, right? He needs the tuber. So perhaps he can take this mother bird and ignore the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKein? No, Teshalach tells you, Ein li eladvar rishus. Perhaps this mitzvah, to send away the mother, is only when he desires it for his own personal use. But let's say ledvar mitzvah. He needs it for a mitzvah purpose. Minayin, how do we know that even there, you send it away at the expense of the other mitzvah? So Shiloh HaKein overrides. Tamalem Teshalach, that's the repetition. Mikol Malkim, even in this situation. Now, the obvious question is, why would I have the notion to ignore one mitzvah for the sake of the other? Why would I, negate Shloch HaKein in order to earn a bird for the mitzvah? Who says mitzvah is more important? Why would I even think so? Especially since, you know, Shloch HaKein involves a lois asei and an asei. It's a pretty hefty experience. It's a pretty hefty violation. Why would I negate two violations to earn a bird for a mitzvah? Omli Rav Abba Bredu Rav Yisrael Barov Rav Kahana. I have a question. Al time the Kos Rachman Teshalach. So is that only because of the extra Teshalach that I know to do a Shiloh HaKein even in this type of circumstance? Hola Vachi, but without this Pasuk. Have I mean I would think Udvar Mitzvah? Loi? That if the objective is for a mitzvah, I can just ignore Shiloh HaKein? How could I? It's a double-layered violation. Asay, which is shalech to shalach, and also vilois asay, that's lisikach aim, who? It entails a double violation. And at the most, what are you trying to achieve? Mitzvah asay for the mitzvah, right? Go get the bird. One asay cannot override a double isur. Vein asay, the asay of mitzvah will not be stronger, will not be doicha, not override a lois asay and va'asay. So why would I even think so? It's Shricha must be speaking to Avraham Shakli. He already took claim. He already took the mother bird. It's over. He already violated. And now he has it in his hands. The lav, so the violation, the negative, Avraham has already committed. It's done. Done and over with. All that's remaining is the asay. Shalach teshalach. So now it's an asay of Shiloh HaKein versus the asay of Mitzvah. No, they're on equal playing fields. And I would think perhaps Mitzvah overrides. Still, we have to clarify, why would I prefer Mitzvah, we'll see later. But now at least we're dealing with an equal playing field. Asay of the Ika, at most you have an Asay left behind. So maybe Lacey Asay, the Asay of Mitzvah, can come, Belitchi, and push aside the Asay of the Shiloh HaKein, Kamash 1. That's what the Pasuk comes to confirm otherwise. Now, this notion that once I lift a bird off the nest in violation, I've already completed the Lacey Asay, it's done and over with, unable to remedy it. That's not so simple, because you see, Hanichalamandatani kima v'lekima, according to the opinion discussed back in Maseches Makos, that learns that whenever we have something called a lav, a negative, which is nitak, let's say, linked to a positive, such as shluach hakein, which apparently has that configuration. It's don't take the mother bird, and yes, send her away. If you already took it, send her away. And that's what the Chachamim in the next Mishnah will hold, that one does not earn malchus for violating shluach hakein, because it always has that remedial option until he actually kills the bird, right? But if he's still holding the bird, he can remedy, can fix up what he did, walk it back by sending it away. Now, there's a shita which says, no, not, you don't have that long to fix it up. You have just a very minuscule amount of time. It's called Toich Kedei Dibur, as long as it takes to greet, you know, somebody, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, right? To greet the Rebbe, it's 3 words worth of time. A couple of seconds. So if he grabbed the mother bird in violation, and within 2-3 seconds he shoos her away, whew, saves the day. He spared himself the 39 malchus. Kimoi. Right? Veloi kimoi means if he waited too long, waited past that prescribed lapse of time, it's too late. It's a new experience. So the taking of the bird is already in violation, and it's done and over with. Completed the Isser, and he gets malchus. So according to this opinion, it's all about whether he was quickly makayim the assay to quickly undo the lav veloi kima, or he tarried and he did not remedy it immediately, so then he gets the violation, it completes the lav and he gets malchus. So in our case, it can very well be speaking that he grabbed the mother bird in violation and held on to it for a minute loy kima, without sending her away immediately, so now he has violated loy assay, it's done over with, he can't fix it up, that's behind him, so to speak. Now he's just facing the question of the assay of send her away versus the mitzvah's assay of taking it. So that's up for consideration. El mandatami bitle be bitle. According to the Tani, the mandama that learns that it's about destroying the evidence. Bitle, did he destroy the possibility of rectifying the issur? Or he has not yet done so. So as long as he still has the bird alive in his hands, he can still technically fulfill the assay to undo the lav. So it's all about bitloy, did he obliterate the remedial possibility, or did he not obliterate the remedial option? If he still is able to remedy, he doesn't get malchus. It's not done and over with. Likewise now, okay, so even though he grabbed, he snatched the mother bird in violation, but kamod le shachta, as long as he hasn't yet shechted that mother bird, he still has it alive and well, he can send her away and get out of the limalkas. He hasn't really completed the violation of the law, so technically he's still facing both layers of Isser if he just keeps it and takes it for the Mitzvah's purposes, the Lois Assay and the Assay. So how could he say it's just a single Assay? That's one side of this question. Masu, furthermore, on the other side of this question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion discussed in the next Mishnah, who disagrees with the Chachamim and how they classify the Isra of Shluch HaKein. It's not a lav hanitek lasei, it's not linked to an assay. Although the Torah does say, don't take and yes sender, the yes sender precedes the don't take. It's alluding to the initial contact with the nest. When you encounter the nest, send away the mother bird. It's a one-time opportunity. Now if he ignores that directive and just grabs the bird, he's already violated the assay, it's over. And when he takes the mother bird, he's simply transgressing a negative, straight out negative commandment. It's not nitak lasei. There's no remedial option. But Sul Rabbi Yehuda Amar, who says shaleach, send her away mikar mashma, it's referring to the initial encounter prior to taking her in violation. So once he grabbed her, he checked off the assay because he failed to send her away when he encountered her. And once he grabbed her, he checked off the lois assay. It's done and over with. Afil assay namelex, even an assay does not exist. He's not even facing an assay anymore. It's over with. So why shouldn't he use it for the Mitzvah? What's the big deal? So basically, this question goes both ways. Again, the Torah, in the extra word to Shalach, is coming to cover even a mitzvah scenario, where he's attempting to achieve a certain mitzvah. His objective is to take the bird for the Mitzvah and fulfillment of a mitzvah assay at the expense of the Shluch HaKein. You should not ignore Shluch HaKein in this type of case. What are we talking? What's still outstanding? Assay and Lois Assay. Why would he even think to override that? He already grabbed a bird? Well, according to one approach to this whole Lava Nitl Assay topic, well, as long as he still has the bird, he hasn't really completed that violation either. So he's still facing a potential Oisase and Nase, which certainly stands higher than the single mitzvah of Mitzvah. And on the other side of the coin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, actually, he did both these certain already. It's done. So now he has just a plain free bird. Why shouldn't he use it for the Mitzvah? Ella Omar Mabravash. I'll give you the case that we're talking about. He encountered the nest, he grabbed the mother bird with the intent to send her away. Be a good boy. And then he changed his mind. He says, okay, no, I want to use it for Mitzvah. The Lav Leka, according to all positions, there's no Lav. Lav means don't take her for personal use. He didn't take her for personal use. He took her for a good reason to send her away. So all that's left is the essay. And even Kuntar B'yuda, Shaleach is still active because he never took her in violation. Send her away right now, hurry up. Asay Udiyika. Okay, so now we'll limit it to an asay. That's the question. You have an asay of Shlocha Kain facing off with an asay of Mitzvah. No. Valesi asay, Vilutchi asay, perhaps the asay of Mitzvah overrides. Until the puzzle comes and says it doesn't. Now comes the obvious question, why would I think Mitzvah is stronger than Shlocha Kain? Umay umay dai asay, my asay, why is that asay stronger than this asay? Says the Gemara, because it engenders peace in the family, harmony amongst the couple. Salat Dechamin, perhaps I would say, Hoyel Vamamar, since we learned way back that peace is such a great virtue. Godol Shalom Shvinish Leishta, look how great. Is it to generate peace between a couple? Sharei Amra Torah, look what the Torah says. Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of Hashem. Shnichta B'Kedusha, which was written in holiness on that parchment. On the psukim that they scrape off for the saita to drink to restore harmony and peace in the troubled household. Yimach al-maim should be erased onto the water in order to generate shalom. And likewise, v'ha mitzvah, this mitzvah fellow, kiven the kamad lo mitar, since as long as he hasn't completed his purification process, which entails the birds, etc., also b'tash shamit, they can't interact with his wife. Shechsev, as the pasuk says, v'yashem mechutz aloi, must be separate from his oil, his wife, for 7 days. Shivas yom, aloi means u'ishti, his wife. Kan she'osu b'tash shamit, we learn that he can't interact with his wife. No, so I would think it's such a lofty objective, mal detema. Ki when the osu b'tash shamit sins, he's forbidden. Leisi asei d'day, so the asei of bringing his bird, which will unable to complete the process and restore the couple's life, should stand higher than the assay of Shalech Tashalach Sa'im. V'litchi assay d'shloch ha'ken. K'mashmon, that's why the pasuk comes and tells us, no, as important as it is, but the end does justify the means and you can't violate the mitzvah shloch ha'ken. Okay, now on to the question of what happens if he does grab the bird. Anoytil emalabon, we grab the mother while still on the kids, and he took the mother without sending her away. According to Rashi's Pshat, that's what it means. According to Rambam, it means he took the mother and the offspring. In any case, he violated the great mitzvah of Shiloh HaKein. So we already had, really alluded to this machlekes. How do we define the isra of Lesika Chaim Alabanim? Is it linked to Shalech Tashalach, in which case is exempt from Malkus, like any Lav Hanitek Lasei, or are they two separate standalone things? There is the mitzvah of sending her away, and then the yisr of taking her. And if he takes her, he gets malchus. Rabbi Yehuda takes the second approach. Rabbi Yehuda, loika, he gets the malchus as per his violation. Venim shalech, that's it. There's no opportunity to send her away. It's done and over with. There's no remedial option. Chacham, no, there is a remedial option. I'm shalech venim loika. Just quickly send her away, and you will absolve yourself of malchus. Why is that? Well, as per the general rule, kol mitzvah is leisasei sheish bo kamasei elav, which is linked to a remedial step which follows that lav. Like, for example, return the stolen goods after you stole it. So that's certainly linked. You can only return after you steal. So link, it's first step is don't steal, and if you steal, step two, return. And that undoes, so to speak, what he did. Now there are two ways to understand Rabbi Yehuda's position. Time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's position? Is it because Mishum Desavar, perhaps he disagrees in general, conceptually, that even a lav that's really shenitik lasei, linked to an asei, a proper linitik lasei, without any question, like an olav, you get malchus? And that explains the malchus by shiloh hakein, despite it being nitik lasei. Oidilma or, no, Baal Masavar, in general, he's in agreement that lav shenitik lasei, if it's rightfully linked to an asei, ain't like an olav, there's no malchus. The reason why there is malchus is because he says it's not linked. You got the sequence wrong. It's not like, don't grab, and if you do, send her away. Send her away, and don't take her. Mikara mashma. And if he grabs her, there's no way to walk it back. Toshmai comes it right. From Braisa, that a classic nitek lasei gets malchus, kondra buda, gana v'gazlam, right? A thief, a robber, yeshna mechal malchus. If they steal, they get malchus, the Rabbi Yehuda. No, we hear hands down, there's no question that it's nitek lasei. V'acha, this is your classic, the lav shenitek laseiyu. How do I know? The Rechmanam, the Torah says, don't steal, and if you do, return it. What does that prove? That time, the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that in general, once you violate, you get. It's really linked to an asay, you get malchus. I've already told you in the past. It's an unreliable brayse, so don't prove anything from there. Any brayse, the Loi Tanya, which was not studied and edited, Bei Rabbi, return time of days, Bei Rabbi Chia of Rabbi Yeshia, between. In the membership of the Rebchir Eishia Beis HaMedrash, where they codified the brises, Rashi says Rebchir Rebbe Eishia were masada the brises, they edited them, they compiled them with accuracy. So unless it has that certification, Mishnah Bashti can assume that it's erroneously worded. But the Toysu Mina, you can't ask anything from there in the Beis HaMedrash. Duma, perhaps the wording has to be modified. Einon b'chol malkus abayim tanya. Perhaps the correct version is Einan Bechlal. That even contributed, there is no Malkus. So you can't really prove anything from there. But we have another Brysa now, Toshma, from a reliable Brysa, which was studied no less in the Beis Medrash of Rav Chia and Rav Eishia. The Tani of Rav Chia, Lo Yisoshev. Okay, so there's an Isra to go back. The farmer dropped some, you know, bundles, don't go back. Vishav, he went back and he picked it up and he kept it. Or Lo Yisechala. Torah warns him against harvesting the entire field. Leave over the corner for the poor, the payer, right? But v'chila, and he cut the whole thing down. Yeshnan b'chlal malchus arbaim, he gets malchus. Did Rabbi Yehuda? And the question is why? Rashi explains, it's really linked to an asay. The pasuk says, la'aniv la'ger tazavoysim, leave them for the poor. So even though he took it, he should have the option of dropping it, leaving it for the poor. So why malchus? Ukon to Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, shmamina, that proves, that confirms that in fact, time to review. The Rebbe's position is based on that there is malchus for nitek lasei. There's no discounts. Shenitek lasei, even a lav shenitek lasei, a bona fide lav shenitek lasei, lo can only get malchus. Said the Gemara, ho, who says? Dil masam on the time. Perhaps the reason over there is because the chasavar tazav meikor mashma. Once again, he holds the sequence is wrong. Although the pasuk tells you to leave it for the poor, initially you get that first chance to do that, but once he grabbed it, he gave up that chance. So it's not linked. But if it was really linked, like a case of Noisar. Noisar is don't leave over the meat past the expiry date. If you do burn it, that's clearly a 1-2-step system. You can't burn unless you... So there, if it's really linked, perhaps we would agree you're exempt. But here, it's not really linked. Here comes the punchline. Don't leave the meat over till the morning. And then it says, if you do, ba'ish tisraifu, burn it. Right? So clearly, this is the sequence. Don't leave it over, lav. If you do, do the asay and fix it up by burning it, by destroying the material. Ba'akas alitin asay, achar lois asay. The Torah is adding the asay after the lois asay, laimar, to teach us, laim lachshein laikin lov, there's no malchus. Who's speaking? That's a clear confirmation that in fact Rabbi Yehuda fully agrees in concept that a true love hanita klasei like noisar etc. qualifies for the discount, exemption from Malkus. So why back on Shloch HaKein did he take issue with that exemption? Because he holds it's not linked to Ase. There's no one two-step sequence here. Just the opposite. Shema Minotam Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is based on the idea of reversing the sequence, because of a yod shaleach, the positive element of Shloch HaKein precedes the negative. It relates to the moment of encounter. You see it, send it away. And if you don't, you take it. You violated both. The yes and the no, it's over. It's over. Shaleach mikor amash, mashmah no. That proves our point. To go to Rabbi Yehuda, it's too late. You can't send her away. You missed that chance. Omali Ravidi Ravashi. If you take a close look at our mission, you'll see the same exact. Masis Namidik. Look, the Tani, what does the mission say? He grabbed a mother in violation. Rabbi the Omer Loike, he gets his Malkus. Okay. And he adds two words, Vehim Shalech, and you can't send her away. It's no point. You lost your chance. That confirms that according to Yehuda, the opportunity to send relates to the initial encounter and no more, no more past that. Because if we were to take the other approach that was suggested earlier, that even according to Yehuda, it's a one-two-step system. Don't take her. If you took her, send her away. So the positive can follow the negative. Why Malkus? Because he also not even been nitiklasei get Malkus. That was the other approach. Okay, but in any case, even after he grabbed the mother bird in violation, he can still send her away. Loikim shalech mboilei. True, he gets Malkus, fine, but he should have the opportunity to send her away and do the mitzvah. In fact, the Rita says, Ein mshalech tells you it's too late for that, because the positive commandment preceded the negative. And he lost that opportunity. Well, v'dilma hachikam, perhaps, all he meant in the Mishnah was a nifta adam malkinle. He meant to say that, guess what? You can't get out of the Malkus by sending her away. Unlike the Chachamim who say, if he sends her away, he gets away from the Malkus, because he has now remedied the situation. According to Rabbi, there's no remedying here, right? But perhaps he can still do the mitzvah of Shaleach. The Malkus he gets because he violated, and there's no discount for Nitik Lase, but perhaps he can still send her away. So we haven't really proven conclusively from the Lashon of the Mishnah that Shaleach relates to before or after. But in any case, we did confirm it from the previous discussion, from the fact that there's Malkus by Noisa despite being Nitik Lase. So you see, there is no Malkus by Noisa because it's Nitik Lase. So even according to Buda, when it's Nitik Lase, there's no Malkus. The reason why in Amishin there's Malkus, apparently it's because Yod is not the Tiklase. The essay is long gone when he initially ignored the opportunity. Fine, so now he's sending her away. At Kama Mashalcha, how far does he have to send her away? Okay, so Omar Yehuda, they should take him to Tachas Yodai. Get it out of your control, you know, have it fly away a little bit so that you can't, you know, regrab it. That's considered Shaleach HaShalach. Rashi says, we're talking even when he already took her in violation, just to do a slight sending away, as long as he lost control. Bameh Meshalcha. In what form will he send her away? Ravuna Amar Baraglel, with her legs, meaning, let's say, even if she clipped off her wings, and she can't fly anymore, but as long as she can run away, that's enough. Ravid Amar Bragafel, no, she has to be able to fly away. That's why she flies, that's why she escapes. Ravuna Amar Braglea, Ravuna says legs are enough. Chsev, live fine by an animal. Mishalchi Regal, Hashem Rechamar, an animal uses its legs to run around, so that's enough. Ravid Amar Bragafel, no, with her wings, because Deha Knafe Aninu. The legs of a bird are her wings. That's how it gets away. So if it has no wings, you're not really sending her away to the free. In fact, there was a story. This wise guy took the bird, the mother bird, he clipped off her wings, so he can't really fly away, and he threw her away, and he pretended to send her away. And then, of course, he turned around and grabbed her, because she couldn't go very far. Rav Yehuda heard of this fellow, and he says, get over here, Nagda, he gave him Malkus. Rav Yehuda gave him Malkus. Amalei says, You know what? Now you have to work harder. Zil Rabbi lo gatfei. You have to raise her until she produces her wings. Vishulcha, and then you send her away properly. Says the Gemara. How could you have both components together? He required him to send her away. Apparently, you can still send her away even after he took her improperly. So Shaleach is sort of a remedial element, like the Rabbanon. But then he gave her Malkus, which indicates that his violation was done and over with, right? Come on, whose position was he adopting? Ikra Rabbido, is it Rabbido? Loikva and Shaleach. According to him, you get Malkus and it's done. There's no opportunity to send her anymore. Ikra Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, Shaleach v'ani Loikva. They hold, get rid of her, and absolve yourself of Malkus. How could you get Malkus and still have the obligation? Like Rabbanon. Certainly we're going after Rabbanon. So the mitzvah of Shaleach is still outstanding. And the lashes wasn't really umakas mardus mit Rabbanon. It was only rabbinic lashes to enforce it, to force him to behave and not to try this trick again. How would Asal come at the Rava? This fellow came to Rava with a question on a bird nest. He says, Amale Tema, this a certain kind of bird called a Tema, very fitting word. Tema. A wonder, right? Mao, what's its status? Is it kosher? And is it chayiv in a mitzvah or not? Omar, so Rava says, Lo yada hai gavra, this fellow doesn't know, doiv tar, that it's a kosher bird, chayiv de shaluchi, you have to, he doesn't know that a kosher bird has to be, doiv tar, chayiv de shaluchi, he doesn't know that a kosher bird is required, you chayiv de shaleach, meaning this is a kosher bird. Omar lei, Omar lei dil machada beyosad rami. So Rava was sort of speculating, perhaps his question wasn't on the type of a bird, it was just that he discovered only a single egg. Chada biyasu the Rami, he only found a single egg. And that was his question. Amalei. In, so the fellow says, yep, yeah, exactly, right on. That's exactly my question. Amalei, so Rava says, Masnisni, that's also in the Mishnah. We just learned it today. Einsham elefreich echad, right? Even a single chick, or beitza achas, yuchayim shaleach. Fine. So the fellow complied, shulcha. He sent away the mother bird. Vahada la Rava. Pristaki vatafs. And Rava set up some traps, some nets, and he grabbed the trapped the bird. Asked the Gemara, but it gives the appearance of inappropriateness that it may appear that Rava had his own interests in mind when he obligated this fellow to send her away. Maybe he's trying to. For suspicion that people might, you know, observe it the wrong way. Kalachayad was backhanded from a distance. That's where he set up the trap, so it wasn't really visibly a setup. Tarabon. We learned in the past that only hefker, ownerless birds, birds that are from the wild, they're chayim shlochakin, but the domesticated birds, the ones that you raise at home, that are sort of in control, that come back for the food and are accessible to you, are not qualifying for shloch hakein. Tanur abonon, yoyin yishevach, you have the wild birds that come visit the birdhouse, yoyin elio, come visit the attic. Those are considered wild, uncontrollable, chayevis b'shiluach, and you have to send them away. Vasurus mishum gezel, ironically, even though it's really technically not yours, which is the reason for shloch hakein, right? But the Shimon should not grab birds out of Ruvain's attic. Mishum gezel, we view it as theft, not halachically so, but psychologically. Mipnei darkei shalom, to generate harmony and peace amongst people, amongst neighbors, amongst Yidden. The fact is, Reuven, the landowner, views them as his, even though technically, halachically, it's not his. Otherwise, it wouldn't be shiluch hakein, right? But shalom isn't always a matter of who's technically, halachically, right or wrong. It's a matter of a person's psyche, a person's perspective, and you have to be sensitive to the landowner's feeling of ownership. Ask the Gemara. Now, why is it considered unowned? Which activates the mitzvah shloch hakein. Vim Yisrael Adam Rav Yisrael Chanina, if we should adopt the halacha of Rav Yisrael Chanina, who says, even chatzeir shel Adam koinu l'shleim b'dayt, even a person's property can acquire on his behalf, even without him knowing. So birds which landed in his property are technically his. The chatzah represents a person. It's like a shliach of a person. In which case, kari kan, we should apply the pasuk ki kari a chance encounter bird, yeah, but Pratla Mizumin as opposed to a bird which is accessible, which is owned. Amrav, let me explain. Beitza, the egg, as it's being laid in Metzias Ruba, as it's coming out of the mother bird, it's mostly laid Hudichai Bishloch. At that point, it's already considered an egg entity and it's Chai Bishloch HaKein, prior to having landed in the property and being acquired by the owner. In which case, it's technically Hefker and it's Chayv. Mikna Leikani. When does he acquire it? Only at the Tibul Chatzir until it actually lands. V'chiktoni, you're right. V'chiktoni Chayv Bishloch. When the Brisa says it's Chai Bishloch HaKein, midair, Prakami, the Tibul Chatzir before it actually lands. If that's the case, that it's not even laid yet, so the owner doesn't even have his mind on it, so why is it an issue of Gezla? Why can't another fellow grab it? Aimam, you're right, it's not going on the egg, which has not yet been realized and actualized. It's going on the mother bird. Nobody should take the mother bird. But you see, another way to learn, refrain from grabbing the egg for concern of shalom, of peace. As to your question, Ubeitza, kiva denafak le'rubidat yalei. Even prior to landing, the egg is just mostly out. The owner already has his mind on it. He's already cooking up a storm for tomorrow. He's already deeming it his own. Now, once we have another halach from Rav, also liskeis v'beitz, she'eim v'retzis alein. One may not be zoiche in eggs on which a mother is resting, because you're not meant to take them before you send away the mother. So at this point, it's forbidden material. And then, I'll take the offspring. In which case, by us, we notice these eggs being laid in your neighbor's field. Even if it's speaking, that's already laid, it's already sitting there, it's still technically hefker, and it's chayav shlo hakein. Why? Because he's not allowed to acquire it at this early stage. And if he can, so his property can. His property represents him, right? Something which he can't do, the property can't either. An item in a situation where the owner can personally acquire it, if it's okay for him to do, so it's okay for his chatzah to do for him. Chatzah can be zechi for him. As opposed to these eggs prior to Shloch HaKein, which are forbidden materials, as far as we're concerned, but in a situation where the owner should not be taking it, chatzah is not either zechi, so technically it's not owned. In which case, the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKein applies. Yachi, if that's the case, Amay Asuris Mishpnei Dakei Shalom. Why does the Raisa say, discourage others from coming to take it for concern that it may cause strife? Look, either Shalcha, if the owner already did Shiloh HaKein on the nest, so it's fully his. Gazamalu, it's really theft. It's not just shalom issues, it's really theft. Idloy Shulchev, he didn't send the mother away, and that mitzvah is still pending, then how could you take it? Shluch boy, you have to send away the mother. It's not a question of Darkei Shalom. You shouldn't be taking it because of the Isser Shluch HaKein. Bekatum, speaking that the snatcher is a minor. A minor is not obligated to Shluch HaKein. Well, if that's the case, he's not obligated in keeping the harmony amongst Katam Bar Darkei Shalom. Well, how could we impose the Darkei Shalom stipulation on the Katam? Hachikam of the Brisa means Aviv shall cut nechayv lahachzer l'mnakas shalom. If the kid should grab it, the father has to come put it back for concern of causing strife. Continues the Gemara with the story. Levi Bar Siman, he had some birdhouses in his property. Akni peiroi shevach Rav Yehuda. So he transferred ownership of the produce of his shevach, of his birdhouse. The Rav Yehuda became the new owner of the chicks and the eggs. No, also come to Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda approached Shmuel, who had some advice for him. Amalei, he says, Zil treif akan. Go tap on the nest, take your broomstick, give a little tap, in order to list gabin hu, so that the mother birds should lift up. In this way, you'll... He didn't explain what's going to lift. The birds will lift, okay, but in this way you'll acquire it. Now, what was the objective? What was he trying to do here? Lamai, what's the purpose? Ilu mikna, to acquire the chicks there. Look, no, lebisuda. Why bother with the broomstick? Go to the owner and do a swap. He'll give you the kerchief, and you give him the kerchief in exchange. It's kinei chalipi. Make an exchange, and now the items belong to you without the trouble of going to it and lifting it and snapping it. Ibiyamta, perhaps he's trying to achieve a totally different objective. It was Erev Yom Tov. As Halacha discussed in Maseches Beitza, you have to designate the bird that you're going to eat tomorrow in order to circumvent the Muktzah issues. So you have to know that it's yours and you have to pinpoint it. Ibi Yom Tov, well, you don't have to actually do a kinyan to permit it for Yom Tov use. Just label it, just identify it. Va'imid, va'imid, va'imir. It's enough for him to stand there, the thing, and point to this specific word and say, va'imir, zeh v'zeh, look, this one, and I'm going to be taking tomorrow. Sorry, that's enough. You don't have to do the whole acrobats. Says the Ma'up, anu perichadatav. Anu perichadatav. These were newly laid eggs, perichadati. Okay. And the mother was still there. So the owner, Levi Bar Simon, was forbidden from acquiring these eggs prior to the Mr. Shloch HaKen, as discussed before, right? The Levi Bar Simon, he himself hadn't yet asserted his ownership on those new additions. So he can't really give it away before he has it, right? That's what Shmuel was giving advice to Rav Yehuda. He says, look, first accomplish, do the mitzvah Shloch HaKen. And once that's done, the eggs now are permitted for taking, in which case the owner, through his chatzar, will have acquired the eggs, and now he has the ability to give it to you. If it's his, he can transfer it to you through the kinyan. Zil tarif. Go tap the akan on the nest. Delis gabinu, so the mother birds should lift, should fly away, and now the eggs and the chicks are ready for taking, and the owner Levi Bar Simon will now acquire them through his chutzner. Now it's his. And the next step is I'll give it to you through a suda, through the change kinyan. That's what he meant to say, and this is fully in line with the previous Brian said that even a chutzner can't make a kinyan on something which is until you're mekayim the mitzvah shloch hakein. Okay, for a quick chazara, we started with the content of the nest needs to be viable eggs and or unflying birds, but even a single bird or a single egg qualifies kan as mekomok. How many times until you actually successfully send the mother away? Endless. There's no shear. Shalech means afilu me'apam. Teshalach, even for a dvar mitzvah. We don't negate the mitzvah shloch hakein in order to fulfill the mitzvah of mitzvah, despite its importance of restoring peace and harmony in the Jewish home. Very interesting, machlekes, whether the lav and the assay of Shloch HaKein qualifies for the lav and the assay label. According to Rabbanan, yes, according to Rabbanan, not. We spoke about ensuring that the bird can get away properly with her wings. We discussed birds sitting in somebody's property, technically not his, but nevertheless off limits because of Darkei Shalom. We conclude with a story that highlighted the halacha of the Braisa that the power of kinyan is only on permitted materials. The power of kinyan chatzar is only after the Shloch HaKein had been fulfilled. Okay, all the best to you, and that's Lachar Rabbah.